an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
In the beginning stages, when we had to go to the doctor, she'd go, "Why are we going to the doctor?" And she'd get all mad. "I'm not going." And here I'm like, I'm working, coming from Ventura County, Santa Paula, and taking my lunch hour plus to take her to the doctor. And I get there and she goes, "I'm not going. There's no need for me to go to the doctor." And you can't change your mind. So the next time, instead of saying, "I'm going to the doctor," I said, "Oh, I just came by. I thought we'd go for a ride." And then we end up in the doctor's. She couldn't argue with me.
Right. And then you're there. So she was okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, but there are some tense times when it came to things like that that she just didn't want to do, that you couldn't change her mind.
Dementia Discussions. Here to help and empower our heroic caregivers with knowledge and experience. Dementia Discussions with the caregivers themselves and memory loss professionals. Here to help with 30 years as a geriatric social worker is your Dementia Discussions host, Barbara Hammond.
Hello and welcome to Dementia Discussions. I'm Barbara Hammond. Today on the show, my guest is Ed Mount. I know Ed from my support group through Alzheimer's Los Angeles, and Ed comes to the group to talk about his mother who has Alzheimer's disease. Ed, welcome to the show. It's great to have you this morning.
Yeah, good morning.
So we're here to talk about Judy, who I've had the pleasure to meet. Your mom is adorable. She was coming to our groups when we were meeting in person. And then we had a group for the persons with dementia and a group for the caregivers, the care partners, as they're called. And so I got to meet your lovely mom. Fortunately, we haven't been meeting in person for the past couple of years, so I haven't seen her. But anyway, tell everyone about your mother.
Okay. Well, the story sort of starts with, as it pertains to the disease, is that both my parents had the disease. And this has been an ongoing journey since 2008. And they're both different individuals. My dad was more, what we'd say, intellectual, analytical, and practical, while my mom was more sociable. My dad passed away in 2012. And at that time, we had just started with my dad since about 2010, having a caregiver, but for only 8 hours a day, because my mom could take care of my dad in the evening, but during the day, it gave her time to do what she would leave a normal lifestyle that she had before and still take care of my dad and have someone there. She didn't have to be there all the time. So after that, we noticed that my mom was starting to have some of the similar characteristics that my dad had. And that started around 2015, where you could tell that she wasn't all there. We noticed things like she invited my wife and I over for lunch, and usually the spread was really nice. And then it was just like rotten grapes and some kind of tuna fish sandwich that was not done well at all. So it wasn't the normal. She was usually the hostess all through our life. We always had family events or holidays at our house. So it was just very unusual to see with that. And then I guess it was when I really noticed that she got an accident at the end of 2015 in December, where she drove across a busy street. It was Victory on the 4-lane highway straight across to the other side of the street, because she had to be at that destination, which was the library, off of Platt. And she got hit, and she said it was the other person's fault because they were going too fast. So, but we knew that she shouldn't have been doing that. So that was something that we had to sort of like, hey, it's time to watch what she's doing and all that. And then
she'd been diagnosed at the time, or not formally diagnosed?
She wasn't formally diagnosed at all, like not yet. And then we just noticed, and then we started going to the doctors, and they did all the tests that needed to be done, and then they found that she had an issue. So
thank God she didn't get hurt, or no one else got hurt.
No, not at all. And we were lucky because we sort of made a mistake. At that time, we didn't know much. We went and bought her a new car.
Yeah.
But as time went on, we could see that she shouldn't be driving. So in April, before my sister was going to be moving to Tennessee, we all met as a family to discuss her care, which she didn't want it. She was at the early stage of Alzheimer's, where you're still in denial of the disease. And she was so independent most of her life because my dad worked many hours. So it was a really hard transition for her at the beginning. And getting care and the right care for her was very difficult because she didn't want it. I remember one time we brought someone in to be interviewed, and they made the mistake by bringing in not only the person, the head of the agency or the agency that goes out and meets people, they brought someone that would take care of my mom, and she was already in like a uniform. And my mom said, no, get him out of here. And she just got really obstinate. And she usually never did. So we said, you got to go. So it took a while.
And you didn't continue with the caregiver that your dad had had?
Well, with my dad, we were lucky that he was in the hospital in 2010 for another issue besides Alzheimer's. He had a narrowing of the esophagus. And so he couldn't swallow. And so he had to stay in the hospital for a week. And I guess she had some issues with lungs too. And once he was able to swallow, he was able to get out of the hospital and put a feeding tube in. But he was able to swallow after about 6 days. And then what isn't lucky, unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away. She was over 90. And her caregiver took over for my dad. And we set it up where it was just 8 hours a day, which was really good. So my mom could come out and go and all that. And it was uncomfortable at the beginning, but then they became best friends. So.
As your mom's caregiver?
No, because there was a gap of about 3 years. She wanted to, but she was with someone else. And we tried to work a system where she would work for us on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it just didn't work out. It was just really hard. And she didn't like, because during the week, we eventually hired an agency and she didn't like that. And it was sort of, she didn't like the people and taking care of my mom. And then she was starting to tell me what to do. And then when the agency decided to go with a person during the day and a person at night, she got upset because she was taking care of my mom by herself. So she said, I can't do it anymore. And so then she wanted to come back and they said, no, I can't have you back. So then when that happened, we had someone else on the weekend who was really good, but it just wasn't working systematically. Either you had to have an agency or someone out in the community. And I chose an agency because of the paperwork, staffing coverage, and you're protected. Right. And I thought that was more important. And the other person that we were covering, she was a doll, but she was starting to say, oh, my back doesn't feel good and all that. And I said, I think it's time that we need to move on. And so it worked out good. I gave her like a month's salary. So there was no hard feelings or anything. And I just felt that it was, yeah.
Was your mom kind of like digging in her heels a little bit, or was she okay with these caregivers coming in?
It was really strange during these caregiving experiences, because the agency was not only just having like, they had it set it up where she had like, before the pandemic, she had four different caregivers a week. So they worked, there was three of them that worked 2 day shifts and there was one that worked Fridays. And so she sort of got used to everyone. But because it worked out good because she liked all of them, they had different personalities. Because when the agency first started, they had one person and she was trying to control my mom. And that's what my mom did not like. And you could just tell how she was reacting towards her. She wanted to leave the house. And that was during the stages where she was more alert and didn't like the way she was being treated. And I think one of my mistakes was to keep that going. And I learned from that, where if there was anyone else that would come in, And you could tell by my mom's communication. Now you have to just look at her body language. But we had, after the, we had that cycle where we had four different people, it was working out really well, even though some fed my mom more than others or treated her differently. But when the pandemic started, they had to change it. Well, they had to change it because my mom got COVID, which was a whole experience in itself. And once we were lucky because the agency wanted my mom to go to a different kind of care, which I said, we're not going to that kind of care where we put her into a home, a resting home or a nursing home.
Oh, really?
And I said, no.
Oh,
what?
The agency wanted her to move out of her
home? Yeah, they suggested, and that was stressful. The whole situation was I wasn't getting cooperation from the doctor, and eventually his father had passed away, but he didn't have a backup. And my mom was low on oxygen. So eventually by the time he got back to me, it had been almost a week. And it was just a lot of issues or a lot of people, chaos, because here's these caregivers in there with my mom that has COVID and they don't have it. And the person that brought it in, with the whole story came out positive because the person that brought it in stayed with my mom because she couldn't be with her family. So she stayed with my mom for 3 months all on her own. And they both got along. And now she's her permanent caregiver. And she treats my mom very well.
So they got through COVID together.
Yeah, it turned out very positive at the end. But going through the situation was very hard. And then the agency changed it where they'd have someone during the week and then someone on the weekend, once my mom was cleared and all that.
You touched on a really interesting point, which was that your mother maybe couldn't have expressed how she felt about the caregiver, but her behavior showed how she felt about the caregiver, if I understood you correctly.
Yeah. In fact, we had it where you could tell her mood was very, she wouldn't talk or anything because they brought, even though I discussed with the agency that I need someone that was, my mom works well with people that make it fun for her and make it enthusiastic, and she'll do anything you ask of her once that happens. They brought someone in, the first weekend person, and I learned from the previous situation that she might have been really good, but didn't match with my mom's personality. So I had to advocate to make sure that she had the right care, and they eventually got someone that now is really good with my mom on the weekends too, where she's more bubbly than Nimsy, who's up during the week. So it works out really well. And she takes I don't know how they do it, but she takes my mom on different places. We live in West Hills, and she takes them to the Camarillo Mall, the factory store outlets. And they get there early and they walk around. So she's well taken care of now.
So once you start with the caregivers, you're here, you're seeing all these different personalities and who your mother gets along with and who she doesn't, what characteristics, but, you know, traits she is drawn to. And you know what I mean? You're like bringing in all these different people. And so you get to see when your mom lights up or when your mom resists. And so those are all really good signs of.
Right. And you can see when she's with one person who's more, I guess,
engaged.
Bubbly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bubbly, right.
She'll talk a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting that's just the way the chemical reaction to them. You can see the difference in the way she acts. Even when my sister visits and her significant other is bubbly, he's Italian and he has all the hands and all that. So he's just very expressive. And my mother, you could tell the next 2 days or 3 days when I would visit later on, she was more alert, more
animated,
talking, more attentive to you. Sometimes a mom just, it's kind of funny now, is because when I talk to her every day on FaceTime, and she looks at me, and sometimes she won't say a word, but if the caregiver says something, she just stares right at them. Like she's waiting for their answer. Or even when I'm visiting, it's like she's more dependent on the caregiver than myself. So it's just kind of interesting to watch. Like, she waits for them to say something to me.
Right. So she doesn't respond to you directly.
No, not in the same way.
And is that because she's less verbal these days? She's just not as talkative?
She's not as talkative today as she was in the past, but she still smiles and still alert. And then there's just comments, just interesting comments that come out. Yeah, makes sense. Or if she, like the other day, it was kind of interesting. I guess it was time for lunch. And every time I'm over there, I bring in a chair from the living room and I'll sit and we'll eat lunch together. And she pointed, go get the chair. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. So she remembered.
She remembered. Okay. Yeah. So some things she doesn't, some things she does. So, right. And then she'll tell them if she doesn't like something. So still a little bit more, but it's at that, I think she's more getting closer to the later stage. Mm-hmm. So she's having trouble right now with her leg, with walking. So sometime in the other day on Saturday, she fell because the caregiver went to go get the wheelchair instead of having it there. You have to support my mom when she's walking. You have to be right behind her now. You can't leave her because her legs give out. And I guess they went and stretched to go get the wheelchair so they could transfer from the walker. And there wasn't enough support and she fell and hit her head. She turned out all right. The hospice nurse that we had just ended hospice the day before, but they still came out.
Okay, go back a minute. So then how did hospice come about? When did that?
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. It was suggested by my brother-in-law, who's a doctor, that you should see if you can get hospice to deal with what your mom's conditions are right now. And then I suggested that with the doctor because I was having so much trouble with him. I had to write out just to be assertive with the doctor of like, hey, this is what we need. And like even during the COVID, before we knew she had COVID and she was having the symptoms, can you get a home health nurse out here? He wasn't thinking of anything. He was just like, no, don't bring her to the office. He just didn't make any kind of common sense of how to deal with this. But anyway, we had hospice. We've had it since she's had COVID, which was great because they brought in oxygen. They brought in a hospital bed. They came twice a week. They would help the caregiver with showers. They brought the medication, all the supplies. A nurse would visit during the week and on the weekend. So she was being taken care of really well. They shifted a little bit as we got more involved with it. It was for over a year that we had it. It was from like January like 6th until the end of February. So it was really helpful. It made a difference. And then right now we're transferring over the home health section of the hospice of the agency.
So she's out. So she's being discontinued from hospice and going into home health. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but we're waiting for a mobile doctor to come in to prescribe what she needs. So I'm in that transition right now, or my mom is.
It's interesting because you've talked about having to be assertive or advocate with the agency when they wanted your mom to move out of her home, and with the doctor when you wanted services at home health to come into her home. But you've had to kind of put yourself out there a little bit to advocate for your mom, it sounds like.
Right. Well, my father had set it up so financially that right now it's not an issue. Who knows down the line? But with not having that kind of a stress, I felt my role is to be the advocate for my mother. And so it goes down to when she first was diagnosed with Alzheimer's or seeing behaviors that were not normal. I haven't lived there for over 30 years. It's the same area where I grew up, the same house. But I had to go into, like, I guess one Friday, my mom would go to the beauty parlor every Friday. So one Friday, I took her to the beauty parlor when she was having issues. And they go, oh, she has a son? We need to talk to you. So there was a community there that she had that really helped out, that I was able to learn. And then she because this was my mom, because all her,
they noticed problems with her memory.
Right. And then
they noticed.
They just noticed she just wasn't there. So they said she might need some help. And then she volunteered at the library, and the librarian that where she would read to children, like preschool children, and they would come in and on a weekly basis. And the librarian, I guess, went to school with my sister. So she became friendly with my mom. So that was able to, that helped out too, if I needed anything to help out. So
like when she went to read to the children at the library, did they notice any issues with her memory?
Yeah, eventually we had to not have her read at all. We still made a point before the pandemic that there was a, they still made a point that there was a chair for her. So she'd go and see the children and visit and all that. So it was sort of like her social hour. I would go there on Wednesdays. Luckily, when she was starting to phase into the different stages of Alzheimer's, I had retired. That made it easier.
Yeah. So you could really be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I could be there for these different situations so that she could go to these things. Mm-hmm. Even starting the support group, I had just driven, it was on Van Olen, and I had driven by and I saw the sign Alzheimer's Association. And I just said, well, I need to get my mom in different programs. So I went in there and I went and talked to the person that happened to be there. And she set up where we would go to the support group we're in now, where my main intention was because my mom would be able to do an art class. And I would just go, okay, I'll go to the Zoom class. Mm-hmm. And I had no intention of being part of a support group.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but it worked out well. And it was,
funny. So
yeah.
You just wanted her to be in the art class.
Yeah.
It turned out you came to the support group and now you're still in the support group.
Right, so right, funny. Exactly. And it was a great help because all the other people who've had to deal with the same situation or in different situations individually because they're taking care of their spouses, which is a lot more difficult, and they're being the caregivers and I'm being just a monitor or an advocate for my mom, but you still need that. So
it's not a just
right
role.
And that's where I learned about like an adult care for my mom. I mean, we were having her really busy until the pandemic where she would be going there. It was only like 3 or 4 miles from my parents' house. It was the Wise Adult Care and it was great. She really enjoyed that, but it had to stop. They tried it with Zoom classes, but it just wasn't the same.
Did your mom resist any of these classes or she was okay with
it? No, once she got past denial, she was a lot better because there were times that were very difficult. Like let's say in the beginning stages, when we had to go to the doctor, she'd go, why are we going to the doctor? And she'd get all mad. I'm not going. And here I'm like, I'm working, coming from Ventura County, Santa Paula, and taking my lunch hour plus to take her to the doctor. And I get there and she goes, I'm not going. There's no need for me to go to the doctor. And you can't change your mind. So the next time, instead of saying, I'm going to the doctor, I said, I just came by. I thought we'd go for a ride. And then we end up in the doctor's. She couldn't argue with me.
Right. And then you were there. So she was okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but there were some tense times when it came to things like that that she just didn't want to do, that you couldn't change her mind. And right. Especially going, she thought there was nothing wrong. Or I remember one time it was her birthday and we went out to breakfast and then she had a beauty parlor hairstylist appointment and she had French toast. So it was a lot of sugar and she went way up and then she went down. When we got to the hairstylist, she didn't want to get out of the car. And so I said, oh, okay. because of the sugar high and low. And so I got her hairstylist to come out. And she talked to her very gingerly. And so then eventually my mom got in. And that was another, let's say the hairstylist, another community person that helped out. I mean, she had known my mom for 45 years, and my mom had taught her kids 45 years ago, and that's how they met. So, I mean, there were all these little things, and the neighbors in the neighborhood knew my mom. So it was just like I was an extension of my mother when, because they always worried about her.
Yeah, we didn't mention that, but your mom was a teacher.
Yeah, she was a preschool teacher for 30 years. So, in fact, shows that she watched, we even watch things that are on for kids that are 4 years old, and she really enjoys them. I mean, she goes with it, or if we go for a ride, I try to play music like Disney music or children tunes, and just to give her that feeling back to normalcy. Mm-hmm. Or right now, we have someone that comes and does her hair, and she just enjoys that. And we have that every, instead of once a week, we have it every 6 weeks. But it's still trying to make it so that she's living what you would call somewhat of a normal life.
Really tapped into her long time friends and resources.
Right. I even have to call them to tell them how she's doing.
Really?
Yeah, I got call them once in a while. They no one calls. They stop, you know, calling after a while. They could tell that my mom probably doesn't recognize them. I guess she's my aunt, but she's my uncle's second wife. I called her the other day, but she just doesn't feel comfortable because she doesn't remember. One of my cousins called and he wanted to come visit, but then I got smart because I said, have you been vaccinated and boosted? And he wrote back, well, I guess I can't visit. So those little things, but
your mother would have even recognized him.
No. So, but I try to keep them abreast. Or like when it first started, like some of them were saying, you're not taking good, you know, I'm working like over 60 hours a week. And they're saying, your mom doesn't look the same and blah, 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 because my mom used to dress really nice and take care of herself. And it's like, I really have her, you know, like I just worried about her health. They were just so concerned in that facet. But now they're seeing that she's being taken care of well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure at that time it was hard for you to really look over and make sure everything was right. Because you're right. You're working. You're working full time, more than full time.
Right.
You didn't work or live close to your mother.
No, I was more than an hour away.
Yeah. So the timing was great. Once you retired, you really could attend her and her needs. But I want to go back for a minute about how you got her to the doctor, which I think we talk a lot about in group. And some people call that lying. And, you know, mom, we're going out for lunch and then you end up at the doctor. Some people call it fiblets. You're telling like little white fiblets, little fibs to just get her where she needs to go. Or I call it creativity, or just being creative to kind of get her to a doctor's appointment. And I think that's so hard for people to get accustomed to doing at the beginning, because you're not used to being like cagey with your mother or with your spouse, right?
Right. It's very, yeah, it was sort of strange.
Yeah, so strange. So it takes, I'm sure you've heard it often in group, and kind of get you used to that idea of just sort of omitting or saying things that she'll go along with to get her to go along with things she's not going to agree to. And we often talk about that in group, how that's a technique.
Right. And that's probably where I learned it. So, I mean, yeah. Those are.
And it's just such a foreign concept, right? Who wants to lie to their wife, their spouse of 40, 50 years? No one. Or your mother of umpteen years, like no one wants to do that. But to ensure her safety, like to get her to the doctor for a checkup, sometimes.
Right. Yep. Yeah. You have to do it. I mean, there was times where the caregiver, they would, before the pandemic, they'd take her to the beauty parlor, and they didn't drive, so they'd get a Lyft or an Uber, and it was just down the street. But when it was time to drive back, she wouldn't go in the car. So then they had to call me, and then one time I was on vacation. So it's like, mom, you have to get in the car. And what happened was Nimsy, who's a caregiver now, this was when she's only doing Fridays. She had to call her husband and her husband had to come out, and they lived in Sylmar, and that's a little distance between Sylmar and West Hills, and he had to get her in the car because she got scared of who the driver was, of the Uber driver. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those are the things you can't plan.
No, no. And then suddenly you find yourself in this situation where you're like, uh-oh, now what do we do?
Right.
Wow. Well, you thought your way out of it, thankfully.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So it is, you have to be creative for, I mean, certain things. Like she used to bring up my dad a lot. Where is your dad coming home? He's going to be here soon. And I would just say, yeah, he had passed away. And I'd say, yeah, he's on his way. But it's those kinds of things that you have to be, you don't want her to go back and go through the whole thing of him passing away.
Right. So you didn't say, no, mom, dad died.
Right.
Years ago or whatever it was.
Right. Or we just bring up, or sometimes she'll call me by my dad's name. Hey, Jack, what about? And I don't correct her. There's not a reason to do that. So
you've learned a lot along the way.
Right. Well, I'll give you an example. Like even when from the support group, when my mom fell this weekend, I knew she was all right. And I knew that it could happen because we had those discussions. No matter how good the care is, there's going to be times that they may fall, no wonder, even with the care that she gets. And the caregiver was really upset. They're saying, never happened to me before and all that. So
yeah, absolutely. I'm sure. And it sounds like your caregiver is so dedicated.
Right.
And with her, yeah, through COVID, it sounds like a wonderful caregiver.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it just takes one moment of looking away and
Right.
Happens to the best of every caregiver. Can be so family caregivers. It can happen on their watch. Any hired private caregivers. It can happen on their watch. So it's balls are so hard to predict. You touched on being in the support group, and it sounds like that's been very helpful for you. And I didn't know that you didn't really come to the Alzheimer's Association to be in the support group. Oh, that's great to know now, 2 years later, or how about 3 years, 4 years later, how long is
it? Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, but are there other resources that have helped you in the community?
Yeah, they used to have like different lectures that Alzheimer's would sponsor them on the different stages of the classes. And I thought those were very helpful. And I know they have a memory. We didn't do the memory care class or program. And that sounds like that's very helpful.
Oh, where, memory club, right.
Yeah, memory club. And so, yeah, just using your resources that can help you is very beneficial. I mean, I even when we first started this with my father and we met with the Alzheimer's Association, and it was like, that's overwhelming. Even like, I'm not in the situation, but even if you have to find placement, like an assistant living or memory care, that sounds very overwhelming too. And there's resources out there for that too.
Yeah, that sounds like you really wanted, I mean, everyone really wants to keep their spouse or their parent at home. And it's so difficult to do. I think that's everyone's goal, but really to be able to do that until the end. You said your mom, you think, is in the later stages now. It's very, really difficult to do. Thankfully, you've been able to do that, the ability to live in the home where she's been all these years.
Right. And my wife and I were looking at it we went to a financial planner, and looking at the cost, it's like, it just worked out that way. Because when it comes to finances, I was worried how much care we'd have to give my father if we're going to have enough to cover my mother. And so fortunately, it worked out on that aspect. But when my wife and I looked at it, we may not have the same kind of ability to be stay at home for the journey of when we get at that age. So,
right. Because the cost of care now is exorbitant.
Right.
Kind of unsustainable for most people for very long, for a long time. So maybe for a year or two, three, but it's really ongoing for as long as this disease is. It's hard for just about all of us.
It's sort of sad is that you save all that money and then you use it at the end of your life the way you have to. So It is very expensive.
Yeah, very so good for your father for really socking away, right?
Right.
If you have advice for other caregivers, other adult children, it is a different situation than a spouse, like you said. What would that be?
Well, from my experience, it's just like going through the whole journey. It turned out a lot different than I thought it would. It was kind of funny is that when this first happened, my mom didn't want either myself or my sister to have to help my parents. And now you look at it like, because she had to do that. You know, what I saw as a child, how they took care of their parents, and it rubbed off on me. My grandfather passed away suddenly. And so my grandma, they didn't have finances. So she had to move in with us. And then with my on my father's side, they lived like 100 miles away and they just didn't take care of themselves. And it was like a baby taking care of a 2-year-old. And I just saw while my dad and my uncle worked together and they got them where they got my grandfather in a rest home on the same facility and got my grandma in a boarding home so that she could still be close to her. So just seeing how they were to their parents really kept that in my mind with my parents. Mm-hmm. And as a son or daughter, I would just say, try if you have more than one sibling or if you have other siblings, try to work it out where you share the responsibilities. Because like on my wife's side with their mother, there's three daughters. They all took up portions of their responsibilities. Like one would be there with the mom. The other one would take care of all the, my wife would take care of all the finances and the paperwork. And then the other one sibling would go out there during the visit. So it was all team effort.
Yeah. Team effort. Yeah. Exactly. Divvy up the responsibilities.
And that makes a big difference, especially in a way. I'm fortunate too that I'm retired. So that makes a big difference too. And having someone to take care of them. But going to the Zoom group, some of the children have to take care of their parents and they don't have those kind of support systems. And so it can be very difficult, but you got to take care of yourself too and make sure that you get some free time because then you can be a lot better with that person. So,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
And we do talk about that in group, taking care of yourself and what that looks like and what that means. And if it's something little, like just going for a short walk, or something big, like going on an actual vacation, whatever it is, to take care of yourself.
Yeah. There's sort of a balance of life, making sure the more you do other things, the more receptive you are to those who are needing of your help.
And listing the help of others too. That is, this is a full-time, more than a full-time job sometimes being a caregiver. So listing
right.
the help of others, and it sounds like you've done that along the way, which is, has been
really right. I mean, there's sometimes like, I'll go down there because I know that no one else is going to be visiting her. So I'll make every other week, I'll make an extra day to go and visit. So,
Ed, you are an amazing son, really. What you've done for your mom, you really provided quality of life for her and enabled her to age in place in her home. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
Really.
But you got to look at it this way. It's the way they treated us as kids, as children. And you're returning what they had done. We had it pretty nice. So
that's sweet. That is touching. So great to see you. Thank you for coming on today. And other caregivers, other adult children, other caregivers will learn from what your experience has been. So thank you for having the courage to come on and share it with me.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232 or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave me a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.